Judy will come and share the gospel reading. Oh, not the gospel, a scripture reading.
So the scripture reading this morning is from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. Awe came upon everyone because of the many wonders and signs being done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved.
I shared with you last week my decision to spend a few weeks in the book of Acts, even though the lectionary doesn't go that way, because I feel like this book in the New Testament has some critical themes, some critical stories that help us understand in important ways what it means to be church. So I couldn't not use this text. This short description, which occurs again in very similar language in Acts 4 and 5, of what the very first gathered community of believers was like in Jerusalem after Pentecost. It's worth spending a little time reflecting on. Just there's key aspects of what was happening. They spent time letting the apostles being the name they use in Acts for the disciples, who the 12 or the 11, and then they added one more to replace Judas. So devoting themselves to teaching, to learning about Jesus' teachings and Jesus' life, to fellowship, to spending time with each other, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Well, that's really what we do, right? We still do these things. What's striking, this awe that came upon everyone, wasn't just about those inside the community of believers. It's referring to the people of Jerusalem, that there was awe in the larger community because these signs and wonders, healings, miracles were being done by the apostles just like they had been done by Jesus. And those who had trusted, believed, are together, having things in common. Now, I've read in this book that Joy Rutt and I were a part of a book study last fall at Ithaca College. This is a book called Called to Community, The Life Jesus Wants for His People. And it has a wonderful range of readings from a whole bunch of different commentaries, theologians, all people who have some real practice in the, you know, of actually trying to be a Christian community. But I can read in here everywhere from a communist perspective, a liberation theology perspective, all the way to a much more, probably what would say, mainline Christian perspective on this very passage. What does it mean that they were together and had all things in common? Well, what's at least clear is that there were some who had more, who were choosing to sell what they had in order to help everybody else. Pretty radical. And we can see in the book of Acts that that radical level of sharing probably did not last in some ways. And yet for the last 2,000 years, time and again, groups of Christians have taken this as inspiration to say, how do we live in intentional community? How do we live our lives more closely together? How do we make our Christian living not just a Sunday morning experience, but a daily, day by day, being together? Breaking bread? Probably not the stylized communion we will receive a little later. Probably more that they were sharing meals with each other, but remembering Jesus' words every time You break this bread and drink it. You're remembering me. Remembering that Jesus' presence showed up with those two on the, who came to Emmaus, and that they recognized him in the breaking of the bread. The sense that Jesus Christ is present always, whenever two or three of us have some coffee and some wonderful Bruce's brownies. Whatever it is we're having, that when we gather together, when we break bread, share food, Christ's presence is there. And over time, that came to be the much more formal essence of that, which we call today Holy Communion. But it's there daily, sharing meals in each other's houses. Now, they say 3,000 were converted, so clearly they weren't all together in the same house, all 3,000. They were in different people's homes, sharing meals with one another. They were still Jewish. They were still worshiping in the temple. This initial group, we can understand, were all Jewish, although very quickly we see the Spirit pushing those boundaries more and more and more. But they began in Jerusalem, and this gathered group of Jewish believers in Jesus, eating with glad and generous hearts, praising God, having the goodwill of everyone. And people kept joining. There was something incredibly infectious about that initial community. It's quoted later in Acts, people saying, "See how much they love each other." A number of you have talked about coming into this community and having something of the same response. There's love here. There's welcome here. There's warmth here. That's who we seek to be, right? And all that we are. And yet I'm reminded again, even with Thursday night's political judiciary news, the temptation to tribalism, right? The temptation to be comfortable with those who see things and understand things and feel about things the way I do, and to really not want to deal with those who do not, or to be a bit disparaging about those who do not. The challenge keeps on coming, doesn't it? How do we open ourselves? How do we find togetherness with people? I confess my urge this week to write a letter to the Speaker of the House of Representatives and say a few choice things based on my political views. He's a Baptist. How do I find in my heart openness to that Baptist? I think I just want to keep it short, so I would read a few words from John Vanier. "From the outside, community can seem such a beautiful place of sharing, cooperation, mutual support, and so on. But as soon as we're inside, we might quickly begin to see others' faults. At the beginning, we idealize others, but then we get close to them, we begin to see what's negative. We have to pass through these stages in order to finally meet people as they really are, neither angels nor demons, but human beings, beautiful but wounded, a mixture of light and darkness. These are the people with whom we're called to make a commitment to live together. In human relations, there's always a danger of picking and choosing. We enjoy being with certain people. They're interesting, charming, funny, intelligent. They give us life. But when difficulties arise, there is a danger of wanting to finish the friendship and drop the friend. Unless, of course, there's a mutual commitment and responsibility which makes us work at the problems in the relationship. It's the same in community. We choose our friends, but we do not choose our brothers and sisters." Our companions in a community are not of our choosing. This is where the difficulties of community life began. Because among the people of a community, some attract us. They're sympathetic, they share the same ideas, sensitivity, and vision, but we find others might rub us the wrong way. They're disagreeable. They have different ways of doing things, different attitudes, characters, sense of humor, views about community life. They wound, provoke anguish. Their attitudes annoy us. These difficulties can lead us away from community, or it can lead us to work on ourselves, to struggle against selfishness and the need to be at the center of everything, so that we learn to welcome, understand, and serve others better. When this happens, community life becomes a school of love and a source of healing. We're called to be together in a school of love for our own healing, or to use some other language, to grow up, to become more mature, to learn how to understand others' perspectives, and to not give our own so much weight and power. That is the challenge and the incredible opportunity of being together in Christian community. That's who we are called to be. And when we are drawn to community only for the sake of community, I believe it always fails. Community that works over time is grounded in the deeper, there's the vertical as well as the horizontal, praising God, seeking God's will, living out of God's spirit, not just our own power, our own capacity for love. So it's only as we are centered in that larger, deeper sense of the Spirit of Christ that we are able to know, to love, and to be the community we are called to be. A community that celebrates our uniqueness, our varied gifts, and welcomes all of us. And we welcome each other for who we truly are. So we come to this table, joining with Christians over the last 2,000 years to break bread, to be reminded that this is the table of Christ Jesus. He is the one who welcomes each of us, who knows each of us, who embraces all of who we are. And through him and his spirit, we are able to welcome and love one another and grow up in faith and in community together.